your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Kings, the 11th chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 435. And we'll read the first four verses of the 11th chapter. We'll read the verses responsibly. And shall we stand, please, for the reading of this passage? And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. The second verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the events of this day. It's been a wonderful day thus far. We have yet another message to which we need to listen. We pray that you'd prepare our hearts and our minds that we might listen carefully to what you've given to the man of God. Help us to realize, as we're having these various assistant pastors to come back and to be honored as well they should be, to realize that there's a lot going on here that has something to do with the folks who used to be here. And we owe a great debt to so many no longer with us. Some are with thee. Some, of course, labor in other places, but we certainly realize the debt that we owe. Not perhaps as we should, but we thank you for all those who've gone before. Thank you for this evening's service. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning after the service, one of our doctors, Dr. Cal Streeter, came by. And as you know, Dr. Cal emphasizes preventive medicine greatly. And he came by my office, and he does often. And as he started to leave, he said, "Pray for me." You know, Dr. Cal, he just doesn't eat everything, you know. And, of course, Brother Daniels eats everything. And Dr. Streeter said, "Please pray for me. I'm eating at Dan Daniels' house for lunch today." So I'm expecting Dr. Streeter to be on his knees at the altar before the service is over tonight, asking God to forgive him for what I know he ate at Dan Daniels' place. And maybe someday, Dr. Streeter, you can grow out and be like him. And thank you so much for the beautiful singing. Tonight, I'm going to ask this little boy over here to come up and help me in my strength. Yeah, you're the one. That's it. I've been watching you. You've been such a good boy in the service tonight. I want to ask you to sit in Brother Howes' chair for a while, right up here in Brother Howes' chair. And this is one of the biggest nights of his life, I'll tell you for sure. And I'm going to use him after a while in the sermon. And if he misbehaves, just whack him on the head there with a curse or something. And I want to talk to you tonight about one of the most unbelievable stories in the Bible. To be quite frank with you, if it weren't the Word of God, I wouldn't believe it. I believe it because I believe everything in this book. But it's one of the most amazing stories anywhere in the Bible. A bit of introduction before I pray. Jezebel is the most infamous name in all the Bible of a lady, a female, not a lady. When you mention Jezebel, you immediately think negative thoughts. She was married to a little henpecked husband who was the king in name only because she ran the kingdom. His name was Ahab, much like where the Moffat is to Jojo. And
I not that she's a Jezebel. I'm just saying you're an Ahab. That's all I'm saying. And Jezebel was destructive, unbelievably so. It was she who vowed to kill God's man. Ahab and Jezebel, listen carefully now before I pray. Ahab and Jezebel reigned in what was called the Northern Kingdom. The nation of Israel was divided into the Northern and Southern Kingdom. And up here in the north, you have Ahab and Jezebel. Down in the south, you have a man named Jeroboam. Jeroboam and Ahab got together on a good project. By the way, the Lord's crowd and the devil's crowd shouldn't get together even to do good, because I'll show you why. When they got together, Ahab wrote to Jeroboam and said, Jeroboam, that doesn't sound right, Jehoshaphat, and said to Jehoshaphat, said, what? Know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not? Ramoth in Gilead was a very strategic place, much like Alsace-Lorraine is over in Europe, and a very strategic place. And occasionally Syria would take it, and then Israel would take it, and then Syria would take it. And so Ahab wrote to Jehoshaphat, who was king of the south, Ahab the king of the north, and he said, why don't we get together? Now, the northern kingdom is not strong enough to take Ramoth and Gilead, and the southern kingdom, over which you reign, is not strong enough. But if we get together, then we're strong enough together to retake Ramoth and Gilead. So, Jehoshaphat went with his wife, and they visited with Ahab and Jezebel. Now, nothing's anything wrong with that, except he had a son named Jehoram, who fell in love with Jezebel and Ahab's daughter. See, that's what happens. You run with the wrong crowd, then your children meet the wrong crowd, then they marry the wrong crowd, so what happened was, Jezebel and Ahab had a daughter. Her name was Athaliah. Don't miss this story. If you're going to go to sleep, don't sleep after I pray or while I pray, but don't miss this story. One of the most amazing things in the Bible. Athaliah was Jezebel Jr. She was a little Jezebel. Athaliah married the king of Judah, which meant that she was now the queen or the wife of the king of Judah. He died. And their son, I think it was Ahaziah, became the king. He died. Now they had some grandsons, and the grandsons would have been the legitimate heirs of the kingdom. But Athaliah wanted to rule the kingdom herself. Now get this. She actually set out to murder, listen to me, to murder her grandsons. So she could become the queen and rule. By the way, she did rule for 6 years, I think it was, 6 or 7 years. But so her grandsons would not become heirs of the throne. She set out to murder them. But there was a priest named Jehoiada who had a daughter, who had a wife, and his wife rushed to the place and palace and captured one of the sons named Joash and hid him in the house of God until he was old enough to become the king. And then there was rebellion, and Joash became the king. Now, the entire story tonight is around this one woman, the preacher's wife, if you please, the priest's wife, who risked her own life, rushed in, and captured or kidnapped one of the king's sons, they were the grandsons of Athaliah, so that he would not be killed. And so that's my story tonight. I want you to listen carefully as I speak on run, and save the child. Run and save the child. Heavenly Father, I come now to speak, and I pray you help me. I have a burden about this sermon because I love our young people, our children, as represented by this fine young man behind me tonight. So I pray you help me as I speak and our people as they hear. And I pray that some lives shall be salvaged because we're here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. sit up straight. Listen carefully as I talk to you. One of the most beautiful words, turn me up just a tad, please. One of the most beautiful words in the English language is the word grandmother. Because of that, it is exceedingly difficult to comprehend this story. As I said, something amazing happens. The preacher's wife runs down ivory hallways, rushes into the royal nursery, and grabs the young child. She snuggles that young child to her breast, rushes out the palace door, and saves him from death. Her name is Jehosheba, or Jehosheba. And Jehosheba is the wife of the priest, we'll say the preacher's wife. And she rushes and grabs this little child and captures him, kidnaps him, so he will not be killed by his ruthless grandmother. Run, Jehosheba, run. Run quickly. Hold him tightly. It's life or death for the child. You hold a prince in your arms. You hold the future king in your arms. In your arms lies the hope of the kingdom for the future. The nation's future is in your hands, Jehosheba. Run, run, run. And run she does. And look where she takes him. She takes him to the house of God. That's where she should take him. She takes him to the house of God. And there he is hidden in the house of God, under the care of the priest, her husband, and Jehosheba, the wife of the priest, or the preacher's wife, if you please. And they hide him and protect him for years until it's time for a rebellion and for him to become the king. Years pass. Coronation day comes. That little boy that she saved is the king. As he takes the oath of office, can you see a proud lady sitting in the audience who had a part in saving that boy and in so doing saving the kingdom? Do you follow the story so far? Here's this wonderful lady who comes and saves this little boy from the ruthless anger and tyranny of his own grandmother as she kills the seed royal, trying to kill all the seed royal. But here, this one woman salvages or saves. Now then, I want to send you, what's your first name, son? What? Not real loud. Chucky. That's a dumb name for a boy, isn't it? Chucky, I want you to stand right over here. And Chucky, I'm going to talk about you an awful lot. By the way, I want you to meet Chucky tonight. What's your last name, Chucky? Condit. What?
Condit.
Louder.
Condit.
Condit, okay. Chucky Condit, pray for him. His father's not what he ought to be. And, but here's a little Chucky Condit tonight. I want to tell you something about Chucky. Chucky was made in the image of God. When God created the universe, God created the universe for Chucky. The stars that they have down south that you cannot see up north were made for Chucky. The sun that rises and sets without us ever seeing it was made for Chucky. The beast that roams the field, the bird that flies in the air, and the fish that swims in the sea were all made for Chucky. The flower that blooms, the trees that bloom in the springtime, and the snow that falls in the wintertime, and all the things that God has ever made, God made for Chucky. Not only that, God looked down and saw that man was going to be a sinner. And I've got news for you. If Chucky had been the only person in the whole world, God would have given his son. So Jesus came for Chucky. He was born of a virgin for Chucky. Angels watching, sang, as shepherds watch over their flocks by night for Chucky. Wise men came from the east to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh for Chucky. Jesus lived a perfect life for Chucky. He had no place to lay his head, was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men for Chucky. After 33 years, he was wrongly indicted for Chucky. He was wrongly tried for Chucky. He was wrongly convicted for Chucky, and he was wrongly sentenced to die for Chucky. Calvary was for Chucky. The nails in his hands were for Chucky. The spikes in his hands and feet were for Chucky. The crown of thorns on his brow was for Chucky. The cat of nine tails that pierced his body till he was not even recognizable was for Chucky. Jesus dipped his own soul into hell for Chucky. Jesus paid for the sins of Chucky, which I might add are an awful lot. those sins. But sins for Chucky. Jesus was buried for Chucky. He was in the grave for 3 days and three nights for Chucky. He rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave for Chucky. He ascended back to heaven for Chucky. He's preparing a home in heaven tonight for Chucky. And he's interceding for Chucky at the right hand of the Father tonight. And one day, he's coming in the clouds of glory for Chucky. Hey, Chucky, you're somebody. Did you know that? Do you know who this is? This is Chucky. What's your last name? Condit. This is Chucky Condit, made in the image of God. You're in the presence of someone who is big in the sight of God. Chucky Condit. Chucky, would you come here and sign my Bible, please? I want you to sign my Bible because you are a famous person. All these things God did for you, don't steal my pen, just sign the Bible. And so Chucky's going to sign my Bible anywhere there. Hey, folks, guess who's signing my Bible? Chucky Condit is signing my Bible, made in the image of God, for whom the earth was created and all the things therein. I don't think he's going to be able to finish it. You got Chucky there, C-O-N. No, not K, C. I'd like to see all of our Christian school teachers after the service for a while. Chucky, we've got to do that tonight. We'll have a president before you get through. Now, Chuck, you stand beside me here for a minute. I choose one of our boys because it represents all of our boys. And I say to the Condit family, run, parents, run. If you don't get him, Athaliah will. It's one or the other. Run, let's run and save our young people. That's what I've been doing for 41 years as pastor of this church, trying to save our young people. Don't wait till he lies to teach you to tell the truth. Don't wait till he drinks to teach him sobriety. Don't wait till she's pregnant, not she, but to teach her abstinence. Don't wait till he's fallen to teach him purity. Don't wait till he's crooked to teach him honesty. Don't wait till he's to run and teach him character. Run and teach him manners. Run and teach him kindness. Run and teach him courtesy. Run and teach him modesty. Run and teach him the Bible. Run and teach him propriety. Run and teach him integrity. Run and teach him how to work. I'll call you back again. Have a seat there. I'm saying run, parent, run. It's time that parents decide to teach your children again. It's time that fathers realize that the command of God, train up a child in the way he should go. Command of God, teach your children in the nurture and admonition of God is given to fathers and, of course, to mothers. And I say tonight, to save our young people, run, parents, run. Run, take him to church. Run, nursery worker, run. Run and hold him gently and patiently in the nursery. Run, nursery worker, run. Pray for him as you rock him in the nursery. Run, nursery worker, run. Rock him tenderly. Run, nursery worker, run. Sing hymns to him while you rock him. Run, nursery worker, run. Hide him from Athaliah. The Athaliahs out of hell tonight are trying to get our young people. Every single weapon formed in the mind of Satan himself is trying to get our young people. I call tonight the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Everybody that has a thing to do with young people, run and let's save our children from the evil one. Run, Sunday school teacher, run. Run, Sunday school teacher, run. Decide to be faithful. Don't let a little whim keep you from coming and teaching a Sunday school class on Sunday. Run, Sunday school teacher, give him your best. Run, Sunday school teacher. Pray diligently for your people. Run, Sunday school teacher. Be faithful to your class. Run, Sunday school teacher. Be on time on Sunday morning. Run, Sunday school teacher. Prepare your lesson for your Sunday school class. Run, Sunday school teacher. Love him. Run, Sunday school teacher. Tell him you love him. Run, Sunday school teacher. The Athaliahs of this world are seeking his destruction, and we ought to join hands tonight and say, for the grace of God, old smutty face, you're not going to get our kids. We're going to run and put our kids, as did Jehoshua, in the house of God and see to it that the Athaliahs of this world do not ruin our young people. Run, Sunday school teacher. Snatch him from the eighth Elias. Run, Sunday school teacher. Tell Satan he cannot have your class members. Run and keep them from the snatches of the wicked eighth Elias. Run, Christian school teacher. Run. Yours is not just a job. You're in full-time service for God. Run and give it your best. You're to hide him from Athaliah. Teach him more than math. Teach him more than English. Teach him more than spelling. Teach him more than writing, but teach him how to write better than Chucky can write. Teach him more than science. Teach him more than mathematics. Teach him more than reading. I'm saying tonight, the parents of our church and the Sunday school teachers of our church and the Christian school teachers of our church, let's join our hands and point our fingers at the eighth Elias of this world and say, you may get some, but you can't have our kids. We're going to run and hide them in the house of God. Run, children's workers. Run. Run, youth workers. Run. Run, bus workers, run. Run, Bible club leaders, run. And save these young people. Run, children's choir leaders. Run, Brutal Middle East club workers. Run, Baptist Boys Battalion workers. Run, Christian coaches. Run, children's church workers. Run, school administrators. Run, far above rubies. Run, 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 and say, we are going to hide these young people in the house of God and save them from destruction and from the evil one. Run, Jacob Trebonius, a school teacher 500 years ago. Run to your room and give it your best. For what you don't know, Mr. Trebonius, is sitting in your classroom today is a little boy named Martin Luther. You don't know it, Mr. Trebonius, but you hold in your hand the Reformation today because little Martin Luther sits in your class. Run, Daisy Hawes, as you teach your Sunday school class in Louisville, Kentucky. What you don't know is that teenage lad that's visiting your class today, his name is Lee Robertson, and the future of fundamentalism rests in your class today. Run, save the boy, Jacob Trebonius, and save Martin Luther. Run, Daisy Hawes, and save Lee Robertson. Run, Mr. Kimball. Nervously pacing to and fro in front of a shoe store. Inside that shoe store is a lad whose name is Dwight. And that lad is not a Christian. And there you pace to and fro trying to get enough courage to walk in and witness to that lad. What you don't know, Mr. Kimball, is that lad's name is Dwight L. Moody. Run, run, get him. Don't let the devil have him. Because God wants him to take two continents, Europe in one hand and America in the other, and lift both of those continents closer to God. I'm saying tonight, if you have a job for God, give it your best. Run, Jehoshua, run. Hold him tightly, Jehoshua. Put him inside the house of God, Jehoshua. And I say that same thing to everybody in this room tonight who has any influence or any job that's related to our children. Run, West Texas Sunday school teacher of 9-year-olds. For in that class you teach today is a 9-year-old lad. You don't know this, but that's the great John R. Rice. That little 9-year-old boy sitting right there, that's the great John R. Rice, who will hold the future of Bible-believing Christianity in his hands one day. Run, teacher. Give it your best. Don't miss. Be sure you're there on the Sunday he's there. For that's the great John R. Rice in your class. Run, Howells Anderson College teachers. You hold America in your hands. That's Rick Martin over there in your class. Run. That man's going to do something great in the Philippines. Run. That's Steve Hyden right there. Run. Run. I'm trying to say, run, bus workers. Run, Bible club workers. Run, state or ministry workers. Run. By the way, when you run, take him to church. Take him to church. I've never in my life believed the church is as important as it is today. In this day of a million babies being ruthlessly murdered by what they call abortion, nothing more than cold-blooded murder, in this day, the church is needed like she's never been needed before. In this day, when you can turn on any television set almost and see things that are indecent and corrupt and vile and sensuous and filthy and rotten, we need more than we ever needed. We need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ more than we ever have needed before. These days of liberalism these days where in our public schools in the time, folks will stand up and say, this book is not the Word of God. Let me tell you, it is the Word of God. Run, run. Take the child to the house of God. Jehoshua, run quickly, run quickly. Hug him tightly. Don't drop him. Take him to the house of God. And may those of us that take little boy, young lads like this, and let's rush him to God's house. Put them there on the front row where they ought to be. And just say to the devil, you can't have him. Hide him in the house of God. Thank you, son. Teach him that the church is the most important institution in the world outside the home. Teach him faithfulness to every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Teach him to listen to every sermon. I watched that boy, and that's why I chose him. That boy was there listening to everything that's been said tonight. You teach him to listen to everything that's being said. You tell your children to put up their coloring book and listen to what the preacher is talking about. Run. Teach him to love his pastor. Run. Teach him, give him a godly Sunday school teacher who puts church before school. Run, give him a Christian school teacher who is a soul winner and believes the old book is God's book. Run, give him a coach who teaches him in a Christian school to be faithful to church work and himself is likewise a soul winner. Run, give him church children's choir and give him activities and make the church his second home and give him a pastor who weeps if he goes bad. I said, run, run, run. Every single weapon the devil's got, he's trying to get our kids to that, and that burns my hide. I'll be quite frank with you about it. I can take you within a few feet of where I stand right now, and I can show you a couple whose boy was taken out of their home because they spanked him. My Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And that's why we have a bunch of spoiled brats in America tonight. Because he spared the rod? No, because we have disobeyed God, and that's just one of the things that God said to do. The things that God said to do. Run. Run. Run, street preacher. Standing on Chicago streets. That drunk that just stumbled up there, he looks like just a drunk to you. That's Mel Trotter. That man's going to someday start rescue missions all over America. Your job is pretty important. You don't know this right now, but your job is pretty important today because that's Mel Trotter there. He just took the shoes off the corpse of his little baby who died and sold those shoes off the corpse of his baby, dead baby, to buy him some more liquor. He's going down to the Chicago River to jump in and kill himself. Hey, street worker, give it the best you've got. Run, salvage him. That man is someday going to be one of the great Christians of America. Run, rescue mission preacher. Well, that fellow who just stumbled in the rescue mission plays left field for the Chicago White Sox. He's sitting there in the rescue mission tonight. His name is Billy Sunday. You don't know he's there. But you hold America in your hand, mission preacher, whoever you are. You're preaching tonight. They may look like just a bunch of drunks or a bunch of derelicts out there, but they're not. They're human beings also made in the image of Almighty God. And but for the grace of God, any one of us could be there, sitting there tonight. Run! Run, preacher! Run, rescue mission preacher! That's Finish Sunday! Give it your best! Run, pastor, school preacher. Standing behind this very pulpit with 7,000 people all over the world and all of America in the audience. Run, because sitting out there is a slightly built little fella, probably a little over 120 pounds. He's a Howells Anderson College student. His name is Rick Martin. He's going to help turn the Philippines around for God one of these days. Run, pastor, school speaker. Run. Run, chapel speaker. That's Kevin Wynn sitting out there. Kevin Wynn, who in Mexico City is dedicating in 2 months a 3,500-seat auditorium for a church on the mission field. You say, well, if I knew a Kevin Wynn was there, I'd give it my best. You don't know whether Kevin Wynn is there or not. And that's why every chapel speaker at Howells Anderson College, it ought to be life or death. That's why every teacher at Howells Anderson College, it ought to be life or death. That's why every teacher at Hammond Baptist Schools, it ought to be life or death. That's why every Sunday school teacher who stands before class, it ought to be life or death. And that's why when I stand before you, people say, I like all that hollering. You would, if you're as excited as I am, you'd like all this hollering. Now you listen to me. If this book is true, let's live it. If it's not true, let's get out of here and they eat, drink, and be merry. Run, country preacher. It's not been a good year for you, but keep on running. You're not well. You've been sick most of the year. I'm sitting out in your audience is a little boy. His name is Robert Moffat. Run, preacher. Run, country preacher. Give it all you got. Give it your best. Well, that little boy, one day, will become one of the great missionaries in all the history of Christianity. Run, layman, preaching, snowstorm. 15 people show up in London, England. The snowstorm was so bad, even the pastor couldn't get there. A layman stands up to speak to 15 people on a Sunday morning in a snowstorm. Run, layman. What you don't know is sitting up there in the gallery is a lad, a teenage lad, who was going to another church seeking God, but the snowstorm prevented him getting there. He happened to see this church and stopped in. Hey, Christian layman, preaching in place of the pastor, run. 15 people there, but run. Well, that's Charles Haddon Spurgeon up there. The prince of preachers who got saved that morning. Run, Mrs. Bethel. A little 5-year-old barefoot boy named Jack Hiles. Give it all you got. Run, Susanna Wesley. As you rock one of many, many children, I think maybe 19 children she had. Every Thursday night, she'd put her boy John on her lap and take an hour to teach him. Every parent in this room ought to resolve tonight to take an hour a week, at least an hour a week, to teach your kids. I probably shouldn't say this, but I think I will. On Thanksgiving Day, at our table at our house, we had my daughter and Mrs. Howell's son-in-law. And we had them over along with my grandchildren. Well, my granddaughter and Miss House's grandson. But our daughter Cindy did something very sweet and precious. She's in the choir tonight. She took a little piece of paper that was stuck together, a little tablet-like, about that big square. And she wrote on 30 of those sheets of paper, one every 30 days, something that her daddy had taught her through the years. And now I've got it on my office. Every day I peel it off and I read something that she said that daddy taught. She did the same thing for mother. Brother Moffat's son did the same thing. It was only one page. And it said, I forgot on that one page. Susanna Wesley, you don't know this, but you're rocking the great John Wesley tonight. And Susanna Wesley, you don't know this, but you're rocking the great Charles Wesley tonight. And you hold the souls, in fact, in spite of the fact that your husband is a dishonest man, spends much of his time in jail, you hold in on your lap tonight the future of the souls of millions of people. Run, Susanna. Run. Run, Mrs. Wesley. Run, beginner teacher. That's Ed Lapina sitting in your class. Run, bus worker. That's Ray Young sitting on your bus, that lad on your bus. Run, Howells Anderson College teacher. That's Jack Scott in your class. That's Jeff Owens in your class. That's Roy Moffitt in your class. That's Craig Bush in your class. That's Tom Vogel in your class. That's Don Boyd in your class. That's Mike Sisson in your class. That's Dave Douglas in your class. That's Victor Hernandez in your class. But you say, I don't know if they're out there. They didn't know it either, but here they sit tonight. Run, give it all you got. By the way, as I get my watch off, I'll keep on preaching. These preachers preach a whole sermon without taking their watch off, and not much preachers. You say, Brother Hiles, I've never had a Ray Young or a Jack Scott or a John Wesley or a Lee Robertson or a Charles Spurgeon. Doesn't matter. You've got a Heavenly Father still tells you to give it all you got. You just may not have a Ray Young in your class. But you might have a Jeff Graves. And then you'll commit suicide. We need some choir members. You might have a Steve Hutkins in your class. You might have a Larry Staub in your class. Or you might have a I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's time we said to the devil, you can't have our kids. You can't have this boy. This boy is precious in the sight of God, and he's precious in our sight, and you can't have our kids. But we're not going to salvage him with you Sunday school teachers that come about two-thirds of the time and come dragging in at 9:45 on Sunday morning. This boy has a right to have a Sunday school teacher faithful to his class, and they're on time on Sunday morning. And a Christian school teacher that's more than making a living but trying to salvage the life. I say, run, Christian school teacher. Run, mama. Run, daddy. Run, Sunday school teacher. Run, choir director. Run, coach. Run, teachers. Run, superintendent. Run, principals. Run. Let's save the kids.
Thank you, sir. Ron, Bishop Benson, as you come to ordain one of your preacher boys, run and give it your best. You don't know this, but that young lad on whose head you placed your hands at ordination today is George Whitfield. You don't know this, but you're laying your hands on somebody's going to lay their hands on the world one of these days. That's George Whitfield. Run, Susanna Wesley. Run, Christian layman, preaching on a Sunday morning. Run, Mr. Kimball. Run, Bishop Benson. Run, Jehoshaphat. Run, get the boy. Salvage him. Athaliah is going to be the queen, and she'll rule. But run, get that boy, and train him, and put him in the house of God, and teach him in the house of God, and hide him in the house of God, and keep him in the house of God. And one day, he'll sit on the throne, and you'll be glad. And one day, you'll be glad, too, if you'll be faithful to the work that God has called you to be. I'm sick and tired of parents taking 4 or 5 hours a night watching the box and never even teaching their children one thing about character. Run, all of us who love the lad, and then let us come to his graduation service when he walks across this platform and gets his diploma, and let's wipe a tear of thanksgiving and say we had a part. I said this morning, I've said it many times lately. I don't mind being old. I rather enjoy old age. Miss Hiles and I are having a wonderful time together. We have our illnesses and our signs of old age and so forth. As you know, I have hearing aids. I don't wear them while I'm preaching, but I have hearing aids. As I told you before, I got them because I couldn't hear what Miss Hiles was saying. When I got them, put them in, kind of what you're saying, I took them back. But I looked at this boy tonight, and I said, I wonder if I'll be able to marry him someday. Wonder if I'll perform this ceremony. I'm 74. I sure would like to stand up here, son. If I don't have to look at your face, you'll never get a wife, I can tell you for sure. I'd like to give him his diploma from high school. I'd like to give him his diploma from college. I'd like to sit up here proud as I am every year. I see those seniors sitting right here, our high school, and then those City Baptist bus kids sitting up here from the ghetto to Chicago, and I give them their diplomas. And then on graduation from Howells Henderson College, I see these fine young people walking across the platform, many of whom are our own First Baptist Church young people. Thank you, son. You have a seat on the chair there. You obey me. And that all of us come to his graduation and rejoice. That all of us come to his ordination and rejoice. That all of us come to his wedding day and rejoice. To me, the most sacred part of a wedding ceremony when I marry some of our young people. Miss Colston may have guessed this. I don't know because she works in all the weddings. But the wedding is over. And I've performed this ceremony. And I see him walk out. I sort of feel like it's payday. Especially those that have their first kiss at the altar. I like to see everything rehearsed with the kiss. I like to see everything is so beautiful. Oh, the flowers are gorgeous. and the candles are everywhere, and the lighting is beautiful, and the gowns of the female attendants are lovely, and the fellows are in their tuxedos, and here's the bride, and everything is just done right until the time for the kiss. And they don't know how. And they go, like you kiss your mother-in-law. Oh, I say, thank God. Thank God.
You say you can't do that today. Young people can't be pure in this generation. You got a hole in your head. You can't be pure. You can't walk down the aisle pure as the white gown you have on. You can walk down the aisle and say, I've saved myself for you.
Let's give ourselves. Run. Grab the boy. Run. Hold him tightly. Run. Take him to the church house. The house of God. Run. Hide him there. Don't let it lie. Get to him. I have no greater ministerial joy than to watch them as they walk out and thank God that I had a part. I hadn't built this church, but I've had a part. And I haven't, when a young couple gets married, I'm not the one responsible for there being a nice, clean, decent kids, a couple. But I had a part. And every time we turn one out, we turn one out. And tonight, may I say, this church is full of Chuckies. Some of these Chuckies sit over here tonight. They're bus Chuckies. Some of these Chuckies sit on the pews tonight beside Mom and Daddy. And some sit over here with our Bible Club students. But they're very important to us. I call on you tonight. Let's give it all we got. Chucky, I hope Brother Hiles is able to still be here when you get older and when you get married, graduate, go to college. But I promise you this, I'll be proud of you here, or I'll be looking down over the portals of the glory and I'll be saying, Chucky, I want to be proud of you. And wherever the other Chucky here, let's give it our best. Let's salvage our kids. Run. Jehoshua, run. Run. Pastor, run. Run, principal, run. Run, Sunday school teacher, run. Run, Christian school teacher, run. Run, children's choir directors, run. Run, coaches of our athletic teams, run. Run, youth director, run. Run, club leaders, run. And let's see to it. As did Jehosheba when she sat there and she saw the crown placed on little Joash's head. How proud she was and how proud I am. Let's bow our heads, please. Give him a hand, would you please? Would you bow your heads, please? I call every one in this church who said who has a part in the training of our young people. I call you tonight to arms. I call you tonight to rally around our young people. And as Jehosheba of old did, risking her own life, sacrificing herself, she rushes inside the halls of ivory, down the royal staircase, and grabs this little boy, a prince. Saves his life and saves the life of the kingdom. Running, holding him, taking him to the house of God.